and a Cade Míle Fáilte to this week's Irish Wolves podcast. My name is Tony Lawler, and my guest today is Pat Brown. Pat lives in Ballyhadreen in the County Roscommons. It's a while since we've been over in the west of the country, so that's where we're heading today. Pat's going to tell me all about his 40 plus years supporting the Bell Wolves. I hope you enjoy it.
Tony.
Pat, good evening, sir. How are you?
Good evening. So you can hear me loud and clear.
I can indeed, all the way from way over yonder in the west.
It is. It's over the hills and far away.
Yeah. So business doing well since you've gone back on this week, yeah?
Yeah, Monday was pretty mad. I'm working evenings at the day job now, and I was there till about 3:30, and there was a lovely crowd. Now we put a big effort into the beer garden and doing it up.
Yeah.
And was here to leave at 3:30, but Aidan, my business partner, he was finishing. We were working the same place as well, the day job.
Yeah.
So he came in at 4:00, but it was mental Monday evening.
Yeah, yeah.
As he says, hard to keep checking everything.
Everyone
was good. Yesterday and today, now, nice, steady crowd in it. Yeah. So, bit of fun.
Yeah. Everyone probably just gone mad after, you know, lockdown for so long. It was just...
Well, you see, Monday was the bank holiday Monday, yeah. So everyone was just looing. It was a beautiful day,
yeah.
Sunshine, and everyone was looing for beer.
Oh, yeah.
Congratulations on your big award. It was nice to be recognised.
Yeah. A big surprise. I was just saying, yeah. I was sitting here on Monday doing one of the lads I was talking to last week. I was just going through and cutting bits and, you know, tightening up the file, you know. And I went off into Facebook and I just, you know, geez, what's this? And all the messages from everywhere, and I said, geez. So, anyway, what can you do? Great
good,
feeling.
It's good,
you know?
For Irish Wolves too.
Yeah, it's great. Because, I mean, that's the, you know, overseas club 2 years ago and, you know, yeah. Club Man of the Year now. So that's it. We can hand over to somebody else now.
you've done your bit, but fair play to you. You put a lot of hard work into it. It's kind of
probably frustrating the last year with, you know, matches, and like we were into a system of, you know, everyone had kind of balanced out the demand for tickets, so it was manageable. I was able to kind of facilitate anyone and everyone that was looking for tickets, you know, so it's kind of, you know, with last year. And nothing happening. We don't know what's going to happen now in the new season. If it's going to be, you know, if everyone's going to be going mad looking for tickets, or if it'll be a bit quiet. Then again, we don't know what the capacity will be. So, you know, it's all gone. But you're back playing. You're back involved in football as well now, are you?
Myself.
Yeah.
I was involved with Ballyhadreen FC for years, and then when I got the pub, I just felt I had done my time. I wanted to do something for myself.
Yeah.
But James Kilcoyne kind of roped me back into it. It's more an honorary position, I'm hoping. Director of Football at Ballyhadreen, so.
Oh, good stuff.
I'd like to help out anyhow and still do a few bits.
If you get any call on your phone with Bruno Lage on it, don't answer it, right? but did you assume you played football yourself when you were growing?
I did. It's funny. My native home is a place called the Neil. It's near Ballinrobe, south of Mayo.
Yeah.
GAA Heartland. My dad was big GAA man.
Yeah.
And I don't know how I kind of got this soccer bug, but there was no football in soccer in south Mayo. So I moved to Ballyhadreen in 1983. I started an apprenticeship, and I've been there since, by the way. But it was a few years after. There wasn't much word of the soccer club in Ballyhadreen, but suddenly I was talking to a fellow one night, and he says, he plays at the soccer club. He says, what soccer club? Yeah, he says, well, if a soccer club here, I'm playing tomorrow. I says, yeah, on the beer. Ah, yeah, sure. Everyone goes on the beer before a soccer. There's no heat take. So, geez, I went to the game anyhow, got to know the lads and got to know them. At that time, there was only one sub, and I think the first game I went to, I was the sub someplace, yeah. And went on, and I played for Ballyhadreen. That was in 1986.
Yeah.
And I played my last game in 2016 at the age of 50, 30 years after my first game.
Yeah. Jane.
So I had a long old spell of it. But talking about the early days, like the stratosphere from the way things are now, I remember going down to the pitch, and the first thing you do is put the kettle off the pitch. It was a field.
Yeah.
I played in 5 different fields around Ballyhadreen.
Yeah.
That's what I'd call it. Until we eventually got a pitch, which is another story.
Yeah.
But we used to have shovels and taking the cow shit off. And, like, it was that bare, like, no dressing rooms. You were under a ditch. And, But years, soccer club stopped and started because I had to move fields. I know that the first field we played in, the farmer was going building a house in it, so we had to move. But eventually, I remember it was in the late 90s, and I was heavily involved that time. I was more or less managing and running the junior team, and we needed a pitch. But we got involved with the group to try and get a community pitch.
Yeah.
We felt it was the best way to get a soccer pitch was to that it's something for everyone, not just soccer.
Yeah.
But after the first meeting in 1998, 10 years later, 2008, we officially opened the community park grounds, and that's where the soccer club now play. They're the anchor tenants in it. Oh, I thought it was too late for me, but I had a bit of an Indian summer and got a few years out of it.
So. So what other sports then are involved in that community?
The community park. Well, believe it or not, Ballyhadrine are Connacht champions at cricket, and it's in the community park to play their cricket.
Yeah, John, that's very, no, that's great.
You wouldn't find any West of Ireland names on the team, no, let's put it that way. But
For
a few years, the rugby club started up. There was no rugby club, but they folded by. But we have a walking track around us, and it's a busy place. But
yeah.
The soccer club are the main
tenants on it. Yeah. So So I suppose the big question then is how, in your limited soccer experience growing up and all that, and the area you were living in, how did Wolves come into your life?
Well, Wolves, I suppose, and I've been asked this, and I suppose most Wolves fans are asked that question. But I was the youngest in our family.
Yeah.
And I know my brothers, and they were kind of into random teams too. There was one lad, he supported Norwich, another lad Birmingham, and the lad next to me was Liverpool. Liverpool was just getting good at that time.
Yeah.
But I remember distinctly, Shute was always in our house.
Yeah.
And I loved the colour of Wolves. At that time, if you remember it, I distinctly remember, and I think I still have it in a scrapbook someplace, on the cover of Shute before the 1974 League Cup final.
Yeah.
The two Mikes were on it, Mike Bailey and Mike Summerby.
Yeah.
And the Wolves jersey, that old one, was a beautiful jersey.
Yeah.
And the three Wolves in the middle. And I don't know, I'd say Wolves was a nice name too. I loved the orange. And they played in that 1974 League Cup final. And I think this was it. The second half was shown on RT. And
bang on. That's exactly how I remember it, yeah. RT used to show the second half of League Cup finals for some god unknown reason. But they just used to show the second half. And that's, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know that because I tried to Google, was that the case? And I couldn't think, because it seemed pretty unusual that they'd only do the second half.
It's RT.
But after that... I was just hooked on Wolves, and that was it. I was a passionate at that time after that.
Yeah.
Trying to get all the information.
A lot of lads would say even getting scores was an achievement back in those days, you know?
Oh, it was. I could tell you tales. I remember going to school one day. It was in, I think it was 1976, and they were playing an FA Cup game against Ipswich. And I got there to stop at the shop to get the paper to see how the match went before I went to school. So that's the way it was. There was no live score or even teletext back then.
No, it was literally just trying to get a result. As I say, and I say to people now, you know, everyone's on the phone, they're getting all the stats and they know everything about, even if you're not there, you know, it's nearly worse being at a game now because you can get far more coverage and information when you're at home watching telly, or you know,
but
you can't beat the atmosphere at a game, though. That's the only thing.
So
when did you get over to see Wolves either away or at home?
Well, I don't think I've ever been at an away Wolves game.
No.
And the first home game I was at was actually 2003. I wasn't sure the year, but I checked it up. It was against Wimbledon. It was the season we got promoted.
Yeah.
I'm sure it was a bit. There was a bit of a story to that too. My wife's brother-in-law worked for a plant hire company in Birmingham, Savage Plant Hire.
Yeah.
And they got all their plant from JCB. And JCB had a box in Molyneux. And I got to know this guy.
Yeah.
And he was able to get the box. Well, I was there about 3 years. But that first one against Wimbledon, I was all excited. And this box, 8 was fitted in it. Look at that. Oh, brilliant. No, the match was crap.
Yeah, yeah.
But it ended up a 1-1 draw.
Yeah.
But at one stage, you look back, there was a TV in the room. And it was a famous game, actually, or a rugby game. Munster and Gloucester were playing.
Yeah.
and Munster had a great win against Gloucester, but the other seven heads were watching the rugby match. I was the only one watching the Wolves.
Yeah.
So that was the first game. I went to that box. He relocated a few years later. So I was three times in that box and was three draws. So three rubbishy matches, really.
Yeah. So yeah, took a while to break that duck. When did you see the first win then?
The first win. And Jesus, I'd say that was a long time. It probably comes one of the best matches I was ever at. Myself and James Kilcoyne went to it. It was Blackpool, I think it was about 10 years ago, 2011, I think. We won 4-0.
4-0. I'm sure that game, yeah.
But we're right behind the goals where Seb scored two fairly late goals.
Yeah.
Sylvan and Ebanks played.
Yeah.
And the atmosphere there was something else. But it was a little story to that too. We were there, you know, hands up in the air, singing, doing whatever you do when everything is going good. And James got a text. He says, we've seen you on TV in Ballyhardine. You know, the flash score came in on Sky Sports News or something and showed the crowd. And myself and James were featured. So
yeah.
That was a funny one.
Yeah.
That was definitely, that was a brilliant day, though.
Yeah. And did you get many more games since that one?
We've been on and off. We've been at a few. When I got to know James Kilcoyne first, he was a Wolves fan too, and he won a competition. It was a LucasAid competition to go to a game. It was a game against Arsenal. I think it was that 2011 season as well. We actually lost 2-0.
Yeah.
But
Stephen Ward got sent off.
That was a great occasion. Since that, then we've organised a few lads from the town, Ballyhardine. Mightn't exactly be Wolves supporters.
Yeah.
But they'd come along for the spin.
Yeah, yeah. I know. I've met a few lads over the years travelling over, and like that to be half a dozen lads that wouldn't even be going to a Wolves game. There could be there's one gang, Everton, and I think Aston Villa, that I know a couple of lads, and they like that. They pick a game during a couple of games in the season that one of them is a fan of Everton and a Villa, and they just pick a game and they all go over with them for the weekend, you know. So it's a great old there. So it's a great, nice way to spend the weekend, you know, get a match.
Well, I love it. Yeah. It's so handy from Ballyhardine. Like that was a great thing too. We'd get a Knock flight to Birmingham. Knock Airport is only 20 minutes from us.
Yeah.
And there's no delays, queues, nothing like. You're straight into Birmingham on the train to Wolverhampton, into the Britannia or wherever it is, drop your bag and hit for John McGee's and all is happy.
Yeah, but I remember we met about 2 or 3 years ago. We met one of the Saturday games we were over at. I'm trying to remember what game it was now. About 2 or 3 years ago you were at.
I know the last game was at with Southampton. That's about 2 years ago.
Yeah,
3 years.
Probably that one, yeah. That was a draw, I think. No, we won that game 2-0, did we?
1-2-0. Caballero scored, and I think it was Johnny Otto scored.
Johnny, yeah. Doherty pulled the ball back to him, I think, and he...
That's right, that's it, yeah.
God, that's... Yeah. Well, we can write off last year, so it's only a year ago.
Yeah.
But...
Dying to get going again, though.
Yeah. Hopefully, yeah, that's what I'm saying. In the new season, it's hard to know whether people will still be a bit wary or... if they'll be chomping at the bit to get to a game, you know?
Well, I'd be at the chomping at the bit. So I would.
Yeah.
I think James will be
stone mad
as well, so.
Yeah, I say once the fixtures come out, I think everyone gets, you know, everyone starts getting excited again about what games to go to. But so over the years, who would have been your favourite player or players?
Well, from those early days, I know when I'd be on the street kicking ball, Kenny Hibbert was my man. I presume you remember this too. He was a great man for the spectacular goals.
Yeah.
And I just love Kenny Hibbert. But John Richards was around that time as well. Like John Richards. I suppose the bits of heroes. After that, I suppose, Andy Gray. I loved when he came in 1980. There was a great buzz at that time. Like, Wolves are pretty only very average up to that. They were a bit of a yo-yo team. And
yeah.
Next thing, they had a great season that season.
Yeah,
I think
they
finished third in the league or something. Andy Gray came, big money. And you thought, Jesus, Wolves are going to be one of the heavies.
Yeah.
Kind of went pear-shaped pretty rapid after that.
Yeah, I always remember, you know, a bit, considering like you'd been relatively young anyway, that around 82, 83, when they got promoted, when Dugan and the Batties come in, and you know, and I remember match of the day and Dugan standing on the terrace watching the match, and they kept focusing on him, and you know, he got promoted, and I always, even at that stage, like with the limited amount of coverage you'd get over here, and thinking, I think they scraped up maybe in third place or something into the first division, and I remember kind of thinking, geez, you know, this could be too soon, you know. And just it was, it just all went the other way after that, you know. Took years, I suppose, took a hell of a long time to recover from it, but you know, so anyway, hopefully the good days are back now, you know. But what about the kind of the more recent times, who would be your standout players?
Well, at the moment, like Jimenez is absolute class. Tyori, if he's in the proper mode, is something else, like.
Yeah.
I suppose everyone was fond of Doc, but Doc is gone now.
Yeah, it's that kind of, it's funny when you be thinking about, like, you know, in the last time we were in the Premier League, in the 3 years we were there, you know,
yeah.
I said, like, we never, like, whatever players we had, and even all around that time, up until the last 2 or 3 years, no one's ever come looking for our players, you know.
Yeah.
You know, you'd always know if you had a squad, whatever squad you had, whatever players you had, like you were grand, you know.
Yeah.
You know, and you weren't losing players every season, and whereas the last 2 or 3 years, nobody seemed to be safe. Either the club will sell or somebody comes in looking to buy, and we're not used to that kind of turnover of players, particularly, you know, really good ones. I mean, I suppose back in 10 years ago when we got relegated, obviously. There were players we couldn't hold on to. We got, but like, yeah, you know, it's a different. It kind of it makes you wonder about the players themselves. Then you know that we always look for the kind of players that love the club and get on board and play their hearts out. You know, we live in hope.
But yeah, but players and loyalty are not a common thing at the moment. Even though, in fairness to the Wolves lads, they always seem to be part of the pack.
Yeah,
Nuno seemed to. Have instilled that.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's another thing probably lately that, you know, with Nuno gone was a huge shock. Like anyone, and like nobody was expecting it. Like, you know, and it's interesting now to see what will happen in the new season. You know, it's that word hope again. Hopefully, he seems to be a calm customer anyway. So
I'd say he is, but I wasn't awful surprised at Nuno going for the simple reason. He had a crap year last year.
Yeah.
The fans were beginning to turn and bitch a little bit. And if he started off with a bad start to the season, it could have gone pear-shaped for himself. And
yeah.
Like he has this legendary status, so it might have been a good thing for him that he left.
Because
I loved him. The three brilliant years was something else. Like,
yeah, yeah.
Class, yeah. Jesus. Wembley, fucking hell.
Yeah.
I remember the Wembley one, like that's in memories. And before the match started, and the crowd singing, Nuno had a dream to build a football team, all this, the hair stood at the back of my head. Because I thought back when I was a young fella, and I had never, ever met another Wolves supporter. And I was thinking back, I met a fella one day from Killala at a football match, with an old Wolves top on.
Yeah.
And I was 31 at that time. So it took me to get to 31 before I met a Wolves supporter. And here I was in Wembley. It seemed there was thousands of Wolves supporters singing the same song. It was just unreal.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. It was a pity about how it finished up that day. But everything else about the day was brilliant.
Yeah. It's funny because like people about memorable games, and they always, you know, they're saying the wins and all that. But I mean, that whole day... Apart from, it's a bit like the days when we were in bad championship or League One days, you know. I mean, you know, a beautiful day spoiled by a match, you know.
I had one of those in League One as well. Just thinking back of the bad days, the only game I was at in League One was against MK Dons.
Yeah,
and we lost at home 2-0. We were absolute crap that day. I think Bamford was scored for MK Dons that day.
Yes, yeah, I was probably at that one, but they're be trying for the last few years to get those League One games out of my head, you know.
Yeah, well, that's the only one I was at. I picked a bad one.
Yeah. Do you have any other kind of memorable games that you can recall?
Well, I remember the very memorable game, but I wasn't at it, was the playoff final in 2003 when we finally hit the Premier League.
Yeah.
Because I remember I was working that day. I forget what time of the day, but I didn't go to the pub for the game because no one else would have a bit of heat in it. I remember going home, but I don't drink at home. But I aired myself with a few cans just to calm the nerves.
Yeah.
And geez, the next thing, we're 3-0 up. It was just a bit... unbelievable.
Yeah.
And fantastic. Then Sheffield United got the penalty. I remember the second half and said, oh, shit, 3-1.
Yeah.
This could be dodgy. And Matt Murray saved the penalty and that was it, all over.
Yeah.
It was great.
Yeah.
That was a hugely memorable one. But it was, there was another game, and this was years ago. It's kind of going off on a tangent here a bit. It was for the wrong reasons too, but it's back to me days when I was absolutely passionate as a young fella. I think it's a bit of a tale, and I'm sure there'll be other older guys that could relate to this. There was it was an FA Cup quarter final replay, 1976.
Yeah.
The only way, like you didn't know how things were going, but a bit like, as you say, RT show in the second half in 1974, BBC Radio, I think it was Radio 5, used to do the second half commentary on these games. And it was on a Tuesday night. And I remember I used to be in my sitting room and at the house, and you'd have to have the radio at a dodgy angle to get the reception for the match.
Yeah.
Before the second half started, they relayed what was happening in the first half.
Yeah.
And Wolves scored. And Wolves scored again. And you're thinking, Jesus, this is brilliant.
Yeah.
Before half-time, I think it was Jimmy Greenough scored one.
Yeah.
But the second half, Man United scored an equaliser and they scored a winner in extra time.
Yeah.
But I remember as a young fella, I was absolutely devastated. It was quarter-final. I used to love the cup that time.
Yeah.
I'd be waiting for the draws and the cup and everything. And go to school the next day and the few Man U's, we beat you, and it not meaning a thing to them. And I was just in bits, so sorry after it. So that one is stuck in my head.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's funny. It's good. When you see the cups, it reminds me of the game. You probably remember the one against Newcastle. I remember watching it on telly as well when we won 3-2. Bellamy.
George and Day.
Yeah, but Bellamy pointing at the badge.
Yeah.
But, you know, that was kind of... We didn't even know then that that was a taste of the Premier League, which, you know, only within a year or so we were in there, even if only for a season, you know. But
yeah, that was a brilliant match. Remember that?
Yeah. It's you remember all those. But you say the cup. I think a lot of people were upset with the cup semi final that we didn't win through in it. You know, after such a great fairy tale start, and you know, being 2-0 up, and but a lot of people kind of seemed to hold it in their heads that, you know, Nuno messed up by making substitutions, and you know, but
I don't think he messed up. I think he was a bit, we hold what we have. And what people have to realise too, it might have been a penalty at the end, going by the rules, but that was no penalty.
No,
Jesus, he played for the penalty, looked for the bit of a touch, and the referee gave it.
And
it
we've
was
been
a signal.
And we've been watching it every week in every game ever since with VAR, you know. It's forensic. It's more like a forensic program than football these days, you know. I mean,
because
being old school, I'm even more old school than you are, but like I'd always say, you know, I mean, the basic rules of the game, offside, handball, I mean, they were brought in for the purpose of stop fellas, you know, standing on top of the goalkeeper and punching the ball into the net. But since VAR came in, like, even a penalty to me is awarded when somebody has been stopped scoring a goal, you know? Like, but this thing of a fella out on the, like, he's happens to be a millimeter on the line, and or he's heading down, he's heading over the end line, and he sticks his foot out and hits the defender and falls on the ground and gets a, like, I mean, you know, it cheapens the value of a goal, you know?
Well, absolutely. To me, it's pathetic. Absolutely pathetic.
I can't see it.
They need to change the rules that they can't do that.
No. I think that's the problem now, is that they're trying to tamper with the rules for VAR, and, you know, with handball, offside, they've made so many changes in the last 2 years, you know, that it's caused more confusion again, you know.
Yeah.
But I think VAR will be there to stay anyway. They're not going to get rid of it, so.
Yeah, but I'd say they'll tone it down a bit. They tone down the handballs, so they might look into other bits of it as well. The handballs are absolutely ridiculously pathetic as well.
Yeah. But I think it's the one sport where You know, literally anything can happen. Like, you know, I mean, a lot of sports, you know, it there's a rhythm and a system. Like in football, I mean, you can kick a ball and it hits a player 2 yards away from you, and it bounces up and hits a player 3 yards away on the arm, and you know, is that a penalty? You know, is it? It's, you know, I mean, you can't predict. You know, as I say, back last year, Sheffield United scored a goal. Goal line technology didn't give it. VAR, oh, nothing to do with us. We can't be looking at that. You know, I mean, it logic has gone out the window, like, you know. It's like kind of saying, you know, oh, I don't know. We won't talk about it too much, but anyway, because we'll only do our head in. Was,
No, I don't think anyone is too fond of bear, no.
no. But one of the last questions I need to ask you is, do you have any, over the years, did you collect any memorabilia or any, do you have anything that, any piece of memorabilia that you kind of treasure as a Wolves fan there?
I remember on it's a bit, I wasn't allowed to put it up in the pub. It was an old pennant I got in Galway because you couldn't get Wolves stuff. You just don't get them. And I remember why, as a young fella, I saw this Wolves pennant on a shop window. So I went in with my few pence, whatever I had. Golly, I could afford it and I got it, but I kept it. And I must clean it up and try and put it up in our beer garden now or something. A little bit of a Wolves corner, you might have spotted it. So
I saw
that's
it,
gone up there. But there was another one my mother actually got in Dublin once upon a time too. But I remember, I don't, I'd say it's still at the home place. I never got to Ballinasloe. But I remember Texaco Cup winners 1971 was on it. You know, really stuff to put on it, I think. So that was on it. But anything was, having a whole pile. I got Steve Bull's autograph. That time at the Arsenal one, we met Steve Bull, myself and James Kilcoyne, when he won the competition, the Lucozade competition. Oh, what a great night that time. But Steve was in the room, and that goes on to another story. I never forget James and up like, and we were a bit in, I was a bit in awe of Steve Bull because one of the years when I was playing for Ballardine FC, we were when Wolves were in third and fourth division. He's called me Steve Bull, like I was a bit in honour of that. But anyhow, we met Steve Bull. So we after the initial greetings, and we're from the west of Ireland, and blah blah blah. But James said to him, he says, "Steve," he says, "you must feel awful honored to have a stand called after you." And Steve says, "Well, I am," he says, "because you're usually dead when they name them after you." Great answer, I thought.
Yeah, that's true. Or you think there must be something they're not telling you, you know, with the name Stan. Well,
Excuse me.
the ultimate will be a statue, you know. If they put a statue up, you're definitely, But, that's
but, he's a good old gent, Steve. He was, I know you met him. I was sorry not to, to have met him in Dublin that time.
He was great. He was
a
great.
Good
bloke. It was great that day, actually. He stayed, I mean, he stayed as long as he could, you know, right to the evening, still to the airport to. You know, so it was a great, great old day, and we had a great crowd as well, which kind of helped it all on. So just to finish up, Pat, probably not much of an answer to this question, but what are you hoping for now in the new season?
I have no great hopes for the new season. I don't know. We had three such fabulous years, and then kind of the air was let out of the tyre a bit last year. New man coming in, but he's supposed to be very attack minded, which might rev things up a bit. But I think it's about stability again, getting going again. And if we get top half, I'd be happy with that. As long as we're not fucking started being dragged into a where we don't want to be.
But
I'd say we'll probably be okay.
Hopefully.
Depends on the transfer market as well.
And who?
I'd say you'll see a few comings and goings. I'd say Nevis is going to go up.
Yeah, seems to be. When you hear clubs be mentioned, although you know an awful lot of rumours, kind of, you know, you can nearly start some up yourself sometimes.
And
you saw him in a car park somewhere, you know. But anyway,
if Nevis hasn't done it last year, I wouldn't be too awfully disappointed. Like, you got 40 million for him now, I'd be inclined to take it. You know, start something different.
Well, I'm sure the new guy has his ideas anyway, and
I'm sure he is.
You know, he'll be putting it together shortly. It's still we're still June, you know, still 2 full months anyway to, and with the Euros and everything, sure players, you know, and players are off for have their time off anyway. So, I mean, it'll be another probably 2 or 3 weeks before guys start coming back for pre-season. So, we'll see what happens. Listen, Pat, been great talking to you, and So we're planning a meeting for Ballyhadrian anyway. There you go. There's an exclusive for before the end of the year, right? So
well, you'll be very welcome. Very welcome.
It'll be a Western meeting. So
yeah. Right, very good.
Right. Okay. We'll see you soon.
Okay, thanks a lot, Tony.
Right. I hope you enjoyed today's podcast. Join us again next week for some more interesting stories from fans and from former players. Until then, I wish you the best for the next week. And you can follow us on IrishWolves.org on our website or on Irish Wolves on Facebook. Thanks. See you next week.